word. Tonight I want to look at that verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This here must be one of the most well-known Bible verses in all of Scripture. And of course, it's a famous sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ preached, known as the Sermon on the Mount. But leading up to this verse 33, as we read it from verse 24 down, we have Jesus Christ teaching his disciples on what they should think upon, teaching them on the mind, not to take thought of the things of this world, of what they shall eat, or what they shall drink, or what clothes they shall wear. Jesus Christ is teaching them to think upon heavenly things, to seek first the kingdom of God. If you look at the verse 25, how Jesus repeats himself different times reading down these verses. Verse 25, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body. And then look down to verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? And then verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? See how Jesus Christ repeats himself, emphasizing the point to not take thought of what you shall eat, drink, or clothe. And of course, these here are necessities of life. We could not survive without drinking or eating or having clothes on. We would die. But Jesus Christ is trying to bring across the spiritual thought to seek first the kingdom of God. As it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, to mind, this is paraphrasing, to mind not earthly things, but to think upon heavenly things. To set, as it says in the Bible, to set your affections upon the things above, not on things of earth. To have our minds controlled by God, as it were, and not to be taken up in the things of this earth. So as we come to verse 23, as we consider the first point in verse 23, the first half of the verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And just before I go on to my message, when I was reading this, how I was greatly challenged, and how I challenge each one of you tonight to seriously consider where we all lie before God tonight. To not think upon other people, but to think upon ourselves. And to ask these questions, am I seeking God first in my life? Am I completely and wholly seeking first the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of self? Let's be honest tonight with ourselves. The first thing we notice as I read the first half of this verse, it's a command. It's a command from the Lord Jesus Christ to seek first the kingdom of God. And that word seek, as I was looking up, means to desire, to pursue, to aim at. And as Christians, we should be single-mindedly desiring and pursuing after the kingdom of God. As Matthew Henry said, we must mind heaven as our end and holiness as our way. We must mind heaven as our end and holiness as our way to live in life. We must be living in the light of eternity. And how easy it is to get caught up in the things of this earth. How so easy it is to be so mindful and worried over things in this earth and to forget to seek first the kingdom of God. We must seek the things of Christ more than our own things. But where does this all begin? Where should we commence with this verse tonight? How do we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, it all begins with our hearts. How are our hearts tonight before God? As Warren Wiersbe often says, the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. How does your heart lie tonight? How does your heart lie honestly before God? How does my heart lie? And as we consider the heart, we look at the Sermon on the Mount again. If you turn to verse 19, Jesus Christ covers this point of the heart. As we ask ourselves, how does our hearts lie? Jesus spoke on our hearts. Look at verse 19. And we'll read down to verse 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As we look at verse 19, even quickly, that Jesus Christ was saying to lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. What he is saying is, don't value everything on this earth. Don't hold tightly on the things of this earth. Because as it says, it will rot one day. Thieves will take it out of your hands. It won't last forever. That's the point Jesus is making. If you're laboring solely for things on this earth, it will be gone. When Jesus Christ returns or when we leave this scene of time, we can't take it with us. It will leave us. So what must we do? Well, Jesus Christ tells us in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. It's quite self-explanatory. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Work now for the kingdom of God. That's why we should seek first the kingdom of God. For if we don't, when we stand before God, we have nothing to show for what we did on earth. We must lay up, we must labor for treasures in heaven, things of eternal worth. And how this verse 21, look at that, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You want to know the condition of your heart tonight. Each of us, we should examine ourselves. If we want to know how we lie, how does our hearts lie before God, well, ask yourself that question. What do I value most in my life? What do I treasure most in my life? What is the most important thing I am living for now on this earth? And answer that honestly before God. You will know how your heart is. Is it on things above or is it on things of earth? And always remember, God knows our hearts. It's so easy to try and put on a show, as it were, and try and even convince yourself and others that our hearts are right. But God knows our hearts. As it says in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. Psalm 44, verse 21, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows where our hearts lie tonight. And may our hearts, as a great commandment of God, may we love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. That's the only way to live in this earth. Are you laying up treasure for yourself? Or are you laying up treasure that will last? As that verse says, lay not up treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And our one goal in this life is to work and to seek and to live for God's kingdom. Our whole life, our energy, our time, our wealth should be taken up in this great point, seeking first the kingdom of God. And when we look back, as I was looking up even church history, we have many, many men and women who lived out this great command of Jesus Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God. And no greater man even to read about in Scripture than the Apostle Paul. So if you turn even to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to take note of how Paul lived and lived out this great command of seeking first the kingdom of God. How was Paul's life? How did it look like? What did it consist of as he lived out his life for God? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. We'll read down. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things, that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, if you were to read that to someone and say, do you want to become a Christian? And you read out those verses, I don't think too many would be taking you up for it, don't I? But this is true life. This is what Paul's life consisted of. Seeking first the kingdom of God. This is what he went through. And if you look at the disciples of Jesus Christ, 11 of his disciples were martyred for the cause of Christ. It really shocks you whenever you consider it, that do many of us really sacrifice much for the Lord Jesus Christ? But I believe Paul was able to go through this, for he knew what it cost Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, to save him. Many times you read through the epistles, you hear John talking about Christ. That was his goal. And that's what was his great cry was, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he knew that precious gospel message, how that Jesus Christ left the splendors of heaven and came into this world and lived that holy, sinless, perfect life, and then was crucified between two thieves as he was nailed to that old rugged cross, nailed hand and foot, and where he shed his precious blood for Paul and for me and for you here tonight. How could Paul live any other way? How could he not seek first the kingdom of God? So I ask again, how can we not seek first the kingdom of God? If we truly are born again, if we know what Christ went through for us, to save us, to give us eternal life, how dare we live any other way? How dare we live to build our own little kingdoms while on earth? For to me, to live is Christ. May that be our life's motto, to seek first the kingdom of God. As it says in 1 John 2, verse 15, how can we live for this kingdom? For it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then Jesus Christ said in John 15, verses 18 and 19, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And how many of us live in this world trying to get the appreciation of this world, to get the applause of this world, to scared to be different from this world. Here's Jesus Christ saying the world should hate you. If you are a born-again believer, if you are a child of God, we should not love this world. And in fact, this world should hate us if we are to stand for him. And that is a true thought. We should stop living for the kingdom of self and live for the kingdom of God. And then secondly, my second point just on this verse, the second part of it, in Matthew 6, verse 33, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here we have a promise from the very mouth of Jesus Christ. If you get the first point right of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, well, then the second part of this, it will follow along. But how many of us want the promise, and all these things shall be added unto you, but don't obey the command of the first point? You can't expect to have clothes, raiment. You can't expect to have all these blessings from God if you're not obeying the command of God of seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Spurgeon said this, let us spend life on the one thing, and it will be well spent. As for the 20 secondary objects, they also will be ours if we pursue the one thing only. And that one thing only is to seek first the kingdom of God. Men and women, life is too short. If you consider this life, we are here for a very small period of time. I'm sure many of you, you're a bit older than me, I'll not apologize for that, but I'm sure you look back and you think, how fast has time gone? I remember when I was my age, maybe 29, maybe you can't, but you know, life goes so fast, and we must make it count for God. Time waits for no man. And how many of us are wasting our time. Let's be honest. How many of us waste years of our lives living for self and not living for God? And this is a great truth that has, even during the lockdown, has been heavy on my own heart, that one day, and Roger has said it many, many times, one day you and I will stand before God. If you read his word in Corinthians, it says that you and I will one day stand before God and we will be judged for what we have done for him in this earth. And that is a truth. You can't escape it. We will all be judged for what we have done for God. How will you stand before God? Will you hang your head in shame and go, I've just made it, didn't really do much. Yes, I have a nice big house, a car, plenty of money in the bank account, but that's all you have to show for it. I was listening to a man over lockdown, a pastor in England, and he said this very challenging thought. He says, the only two things that you can take with you when you leave this scene of time and you stand before God, the only two things you can take with you is, number one, your own soul, and number two, the souls of men and women that you have won for Christ. That's the only two things you can take with you when you leave this scene of time. And I wonder how many of us are taking just that one thing, just ourselves, hoping that we get there, our own soul, and not concerned about the men and women outside of these doors that are going to hell, and that's the reality of it. We must seek first the kingdom of God. We must live our lives wholly for Christ and be burdened and living to win souls for Christ. Burdened to win as many as we can, to take as many souls as we can with us to the kingdom of God. I was reading on a man, and this I'll finish, Charles T. Studd. I'm sure many of you know him, but those of you maybe who don't know him, Charles T. Studd was born in England. He was born into a wealthy family, plenty of money, and he grew up to become one of the greatest cricketers England had ever seen. He played international for England in cricket. And Charles was saved, and he gave it all up. And this is what he had to say. He left all the fame and fortune that he had, and this is what he had to say regarding going all out for Christ. He says, what is all the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? I know that cricket would not last, and honour would not last, and nothing in this world would last. But it is worthwhile living for the world to come. What challenge? I'm going to read that again. It's challenging. What is it all, the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? I know that cricket would not last, and honour would not last, and nothing in this world would last, but it was worthwhile living for the world to come. How many of us can truly say that's us? Not living for this world, but living for eternity. Living for things that will last. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Not building the kingdom of self or the kingdom of this world, but sold out, as Roger often quoted, absolutely surrendered to God. To not be selfish. So many of us are selfish in this world, but to be selfless, as Jesus Christ was, for it cost Jesus Christ his life to rescue us. It should cost us our lives to rescue others for God's glory and for the kingdom to come. And then C.T. Studd had these famous words to say. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. How we must be seeking first the kingdom of God. And if I ask you again, are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Honestly, as even as we come now to pray, to search our hearts to see what are we living for? Are we living for self, or are we living for the kingdom of God? Thank you. As we come to pray tonight, even remember again the Hamill family. And of course, this lady Jennifer as well, and Gillian Campbell's mother. And even pray even for the revival conference, that God will come And he'll speak to each one of us and we'll be changed for all eternity. That we will seek first the kingdom of God. We'll live for God's kingdom and not our own. Let's just bow our heads even now as we come to pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we commend even to thy holy kingdom now, Father. We come and thank you for this great Bible verse, to seek first your kingdom. And Lord, we come and lay our lives before you now. We come and pray, Father, that you will search our hearts, see, are we truly living for you? Or are we living for self? We come and pray, Father, that you'll come and pour your Spirit down now, even into this time of prayer, that you will come and bless us tonight, that you will work in our hearts, that you will reveal to us what is lacking in our lives, that we may come and dedicate our lives to you. We ask it all in thy precious name. Amen.